It's April 8th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got five briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, it is the six-month mark since Palestinian terrorists attacked the country of Israel. We will talk about where the war stands this morning and how this conflict will likely continue to impact the world. Second, the White House cheered Friday's big economic news about job growth. Apparently, more than 300,000 jobs were added in the month of March. But looking at the numbers a little bit more closely, well, maybe not so fast. We'll do a fact check coming up. Third, the U.S. Navy reports major delays on some of their most vital ships under construction. We'll talk about why that could be very bad in a future fight with China. Fourth, the CIA is denying this morning that they ever stopped an interview with a major Democrat fundraiser and supporter of Hunter Biden. I've got that update for you shortly. Finally, do you have big plans today for that solar eclipse just a couple hours away? Well, one of your plans might be grabbing some batteries and a flashlight just in case your solar power goes offline, because it just might. I'll talk about how grid operators throughout the country are preparing for that risk. Later, three listener questions today about drone strikes, hackers, and Friday's headline brief. But first, let's get to our top stories of the morning. 6 months ago yesterday, Palestinian terrorists attacked the country of Israel again, targeting civilians and military members alike. Remembrances were held throughout the day yesterday, throughout the country, in fact, including at the Nova Music Festival site. That is where members of Hamas parachuted in and shot civilians point blank. As listeners will recall, they and other victims who were by the border with Gaza were then kidnapped and pulled back into Hamas territory. Many were raped, tortured, and ultimately murdered. Others are still alive. To the point, the Palestinians hold about 130 hostages this morning, plus the bodies of another 33 or so. Now, in the mix of all those numbers is probably 10 or so Americans. And that is at the heart of the update this morning. What can or should be done next to get those hostages or their bodies back? Plus, of course, how to increase food aid for the civilians who are trapped in the Gaza Strip. Now, on one hand, we have the argument from the families of the hostages and most Israelis who want their government to do more. But how they define do more can really range. So, for instance, some want more military operations in Hamas's last remaining stronghold, which is in the southern city of Rafah. Others want to expand the war into southern Lebanon, all because 100,000 Israelis this morning who used to live near that border in the northern part of their own country are displaced following some massive deluges of rocket and missile fires coming from the southern part of Lebanon from that Islamic radical group called Hezbollah. Others in Israel are pressing the prime minister of that country, Benjamin Netanyahu, to do more for a ceasefire. Now, they know that doing so will give Hamas time to reconstitute their forces for more terror attacks down the road. But these folks are mostly the family members of hostages, and they just want their loved ones back. Now, on the other hand of this debate are those folks out there who want Israel to do less. These are Palestinians, Arabs, and leftists all around the world who say that now is the time for a permanent ceasefire and a withdrawal of all Israeli troops. They argue that the 30,000 Palestinians who have died in Israel's military response is a genocide, egregious, although 10,000 of those are Hamas fighters. But nevertheless, the overall toll is simply unacceptable. They also argue that the Gaza Strip has been permanently reduced to rubble in many areas of both buildings and farmlands. Estimates are about half of all residential, commercial, and industrial buildings have been leveled by Israeli strikes and bulldozers, and so these folks argue no more. Finally, they argue or say that Israel's total blockade of the Gaza Strip has led to increasing amounts of hunger and starvation. The roughly 2 million Palestinians that remain are mostly squeezed into the southern areas of Gaza, where food is just desperately running short this morning. That is also, sadly, unfortunately, where most of the Hamas fighters remain this morning in the tunnels below the city of Rafah. The people above are being used as human shields. Now, this issue of hunger and the delivery of humanitarian aid was made all the more combustible last week, as we discussed. That was certainly following the deaths of those aid workers in the northern part of Gaza. As you will recall, the Israeli military conducted a drone or missile strike on their vehicles, killing at least 7 workers. Now, the Israelis have said that that was a grave mistake. They have apologized and they have fired or otherwise disciplined those involved. But that does not matter to a bunch of folks, Arab governments certainly, Palestinians obviously, and their Marxist allies like Representative Rashida Tlaib. Those folks say, although without evidence, that the Israelis are targeting aid workers on purpose, probably to scare off those organizations and ultimately to starve the Palestinian people. Well, whichever side you find persuasive of those various arguments, the point is there is raging debate about what to do, whether that be more or less, and what those words even mean. And that is what negotiators are wrestling with again this morning. The intelligence chiefs of the U.S., Israel, Egypt, Qatar, and Hamas are all gathered in the city of Cairo today to try to hash out what to do next. No concrete action or plans have been announced so far, but those negotiations do continue as of this recording. I should tell you that initial reports from these negotiations are not exactly promising. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is making clear this morning that he is not going to consider a truce in Gaza without the release of all hostages and their bodies at a minimum. Hamas says no way, unless Israel decides to withdraw from Gaza, gives up thousands of Palestinian prisoners, and agrees to let the terror group continue to govern. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the most foundational issue that negotiators face in Cairo this morning. Hamas and Palestinians, plus Arabs and leftist groups around the world, argue that the state of Israel should not exist. They say that its creation was a historical error mandated by the British or Western global powers decades ago. And accordingly, these folks demand that the Jews be sent back to Europe such that Palestine can be created in its place. And if Israel or the Jews refuse to leave, then the terror attacks by Hamas and Hezbollah and others will push them out or slaughter them in the process. Now, if that sounds shocking, it really shouldn't. Recent polling, and that going back decades, shows that Hamas, plus most Palestinians, Arabs, and leftist groups, call acts of terror actually righteous resistance. And if that involves things like rape and torture and burning people alive, so be it, they say. That is how resistance works. Well, as that debate and negotiations continue, let's talk about how this war will likely impact people all around the world who, frankly, have no connection to this conflict. And that is largely going to be experienced through oil prices. U.S. crude is predicted to hit $100 a barrel over the summer, up from about $85, $90 right now. Last week, prices hit what oil traders call a golden cross, which historically has meant that prices are heading higher. And that is why J.P. Morgan Chase and others are forecasting that $100 a barrel probably by August, if not before. Now, to emphasize, there are other market conditions at play here that are driving up the prices, whether that be China's increasing demand or some production cuts in places like Mexico and Saudi Arabia. But the point remains that you out there, no matter where you may be, will pay a price for this war, certainly for oil products of all kinds. And with those facts and data this morning, let me offer you one final piece of analysis and opinion. When I first started briefing you on this war 6 months ago, I spent each Monday in particular with updates often asking you this question. Should Israel exist? Both then and now, that question remains the foundational beginning to understanding this entire war and the debate about what should come next. Because when Palestinians and Arabs and Muslims and leftists answer this question, they say, no, Israel should not exist. And what polling has shown, again, for years, is that they are not going to change their minds. The terror attacks will not stop until Israel is gone and only Palestine remains from the river to the sea. That is their argument. So I'm not sure how you negotiate through that reality, or if you're Israeli, why you ever would. But folks in Cairo are giving it a go this morning. I don't know where it's going to go, but nevertheless, I'll keep you posted. And with that, let's take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks, and please do enjoy the messages from today's sponsors, two of them. They're great, Chase Medical and American Giant. We'll be right back. Over the past few weeks, you all know that I got the stinking cold, then I got a sinus infection. But as I did, I was at peace because I knew I had antibiotics at the ready from JaceMedical.com. All I had to do was have a quick phone call with my doctor. I got the green light to use them, and that was it. There was no pulling myself out of bed, driving to the pharmacy, hoping it was ready. I was ready at home. And that's why I love Jace Medical. They provide you all kinds of prescription medications delivered right to your door. And it's so easy. Just go to jacemedical.com, fill out a very simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get your medications. In some cases, you'll have a quick phone call with one of their board-certified physicians to make sure you are getting exactly what you need. But regardless, it is a great service. So go to jacemedical.com, that's J-A-S-E medical.com, and you will enter a promo code. Of course, it is right at checkout, and you are going to get a great discount when you do. Again, folks, that's promo code right at J-A-S-E medical.com, and do this today, because there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. For the past 5 months, I've been telling you about American Giant, and I am so proud to tell you about them, and most especially, wear their clothes, because they are made right here in America. I've got two of their hoodies, I've got t-shirts, socks, some joggers, and shorts, and every time I wear American Giant, I know that I'm wearing something very special. I feel the quality, the durability, and the pride that goes into each and every piece of clothing that they offer, and I promise you, folks, you are going to feel it too. And you are going to know that these products will last you for years. So go to American-Giant.com. And when you do, you are going to find a closet staple, I promise, for every part of your spring days. Plus, when you go to American-Giant.com, you are going to get 20% off your first order. Just use that promo code right at checkout. Again, go to American-Giant.com. Use that promo code RIGHT, of course, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get yourself that 20% off. And let's get this country going again, shall we? Let's make America giant. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a pivot towards domestic news. First, the White House got some good economic news on Friday. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported 303,000 new jobs in the month of March. Unemployment dropped a bit as well. As CNN reported, it is yet another economic report that has defied expectations, with over 100,000 more jobs than experts had predicted. But that report of defiance is leading to a little bit of skepticism this morning. Looking under the hood of those BLS statistics, the new jobs in March are mostly part-time. In fact, full-time positions actually fell in the month of March. That continues a trend that we have seen for the past few years, where employers are cutting full-time work in favor of part-time positions. Also in the data, people are juggling multiple part-time jobs to keep up, not just having one full-time job. Third, the jobs that are added, largely they have been in government, not the private sector. Finally, we are seeing that foreign-born workers continue to capture a growing number of jobs, less so than those folks perhaps like you who are native-born. And that is likely a reflection of the 7.2 million illegals who have come into this country since Mr. Biden took office. Some of those illegal aliens are now authorized to work. Now, curiously, some economists have said that these 7.2 million are bringing productivity into the economy because of their, quote, technological innovation and refinements, end quote. That was a statement that was made on CNN by an economist named Brett House of the Columbia Business School. He went on to say that, quote, the United States is unambiguously benefiting from an increase in net migration, end quote. Well, is that true? Let me offer you my analysis and opinion on that, pivoting now away from facts and data. Although, we're not going to pivot too far from facts and data. We know from a study back in 2016 by the Academies of Science and others, plus more recent data by the LA Times last fall, that illegal aliens who are crossing the border right now do not have a high school education, they don't have English skills, and very few have professional skills. In other words, you can't really argue that these folks are bringing in technological innovation or refinement. It's just not true. So then why would Mr. Brett House possibly argue that? Well, what CNN did not tell you about this gentleman is that he is a longtime donor to Democrats and their causes, including open borders. And that bias should have been flagged for viewers and readers at CNN, But we all know why that didn't happen. It's part of how the industry of fake news operates. We talked about that on July 3rd. But that aside, here's the point. I don't believe these latest figures from the BLS. We have just seen for about 2 years now that whenever these numbers come out, about a month or two later, they are revised down, in some cases dramatically. That has been an unprecedented pattern. And that's a shame, because we really need a better sense of where things are at economically and where we are likely headed. And to that end, we will get some more data this week when we learn about the latest of the consumer price index numbers and something called a producer price index numbers. Those reports give us a pretty good indication of the trajectory of inflation in this country, which, that is a big issue that is shaping a lot of our lives. Nevertheless, I'll keep you posted on when we learn it. Next up, we move from economic news to national security updates with this pretty sobering reality. The U.S. Navy is admitting this morning that the ships and the submarines that they need to fight China and other adversaries are years behind schedule. Worse yet, they don't have any clear plans on how to fix the problems. And that might help explain why they just canceled a series of interviews that were scheduled for today to talk with journalists about their progress, because maybe there wasn't any. So here's what we know. Last week, the U.S. Naval Institute and Politico magazine reported that four of the Navy's most critical shipbuilding programs are years behind schedule. That includes the Columbia-class nuclear-powered submarines. Those will be ready around the year 2029, give or take, hoping, fingers crossed. Also delayed are some updated Virginia-class submarines. Those are about 2 or 3 years behind as well. Next, we've got a new advanced aircraft carrier, or we should have one, but we're not going to get it, not for at least a couple more years. Finally, there's a new frigate program that is years off of its scheduled after the Pentagon changed the design so many times that it is now just 15% of what it was originally designed and created to do and be. All right, well, that sounds bad, and it is, but why is it bad, and why should we care? Well, let's talk about that, pivoting to analysis and opinion. So let's focus on China. And let's start with something that we might not know. Two things, actually. Beijing has the world's largest navy in terms of numbers of battle force ships. Second, they have over 200 times greater shipbuilding capacity than the United States. Let me just say those two things again. They have the largest navy, and they can produce 200 times more ships than we can. So you put those two things together, and you can see why the Congressional Budget Office and the U.S. Office of Naval Intelligence say that, two things. We have never seen such a thing since the end of the Second World War, and painfully, we can't catch up. And that is obviously inclusive of these latest delays. And as I've briefed you previously, this is why the Pentagon is scrambling to advance something called the Replicator Drone Program. Those involve AI-infused drones, whether those be on land or sea. We discussed those back on February 19th, in case you missed that episode. But the bottom line is that China knows that we are trying to rush these AI-infused drones, certainly into the Taiwan Strait, to stop them if they ever try to invade. And they know that we are hoping to do this, to get these drones to Taiwan, by the fall of 2025. And that is why I predicted months ago, and again today, that Beijing will strike Taiwan before then, before they lose their naval advantage. We shall see if that prediction comes true. I personally hope I'm wrong, but nevertheless, there it is, more to come. Next up, we've got another piece of national security news to talk about, and it's regarding the CIA. It involves the details that I shared with you back on March 25th about a whistleblower alleging that the CIA stopped the IRS and the DOJ, or Department of Justice, from interviewing a major Democrat fundraiser who was caught up in the investigation of Hunter Biden. Now, to quickly refresh our memories on this allegation from the whistleblower, we start with a man's name that is Kevin Morris. He is a major Democrat fundraiser who has provided Hunter Biden with millions and millions of dollars in loans and gifts and cash. And he was on the radar of the IRS, probably for that reason, on or about August of 2021. But according to a CIA whistleblower, the agency caught wind of the IRS's investigation and the plans to interview this Mr. Morris. And so some senior leaders at the CIA called on their colleagues at the Department of Justice and the IRS and said, "You guys cannot conduct an interview with Mr. Morris." Why is that? Well, that is a mystery as well. So with that refresh, let us now talk about the latest news. The CIA said late Friday that the whistleblower making these allegations is wrong. They issued a statement on Friday saying that they never told the Department of Justice or the IRS that they couldn't question Mr. Morris. But they added this, quote, "As a general matter, the CIA facilitates the Department of Justice's access to national security information in the context of investigations and prosecutions. For example, the CIA engages with the DOJ to enable prosecutors to understand the national security information that may arise in the course of an investigation and to assess their discovery obligations," end quote. Whew. Well, that's a bunch of words. What do they mean? Well, I think I have an idea. Let's talk about that. Let me now pivot to my analysis and opinion. So let's step back from Morris for a second. So what I know to be true is that when a CIA asset comes to the attention of the FBI or the Department of Justice about a criminal matter, my old colleagues will do a scrub of the case, and they will decide whether or how to intervene. For really important assets or operations, Langley will say to the FBI or the DOJ or the IRS, "Don't look into this guy. He's ours." Now, usually the reason that the CIA does that is if the FBI or the DOJ move ahead regardless, then all the information that they learn during the investigatory process can then be revealed in public during the court case in what's called the discovery process. And that would obviously include things like the clandestine relationship with the CIA, the cover providers, the bank accounts that they use to pay the assets, and so forth. So looking at the statement from the CIA on Friday, that's what I think is going on here. I suspect that Mr. Morris is or was a CIA asset, and they didn't want anyone learning about that reality during what is called the discovery process. Okay, fine. But now we should ask, is there a connection to Hunter Biden? Because there's got to be something. Was Hunter perhaps a subsource of Mr. Morris as Hunter was traveling around the world to places like Ukraine or China and Russia? The big question is, did the CIA ever direct Hunter Biden through Mr. Morris to do any of these shady business deals or engage in any kind of shady activity or behavior, criminality? Well, I don't know, but the American people deserve to know. And to that end, the House Judiciary Committee said that the hunt for truth continues. They blasted the CIA over the weekend, saying that Langley's continued denial of the whistleblower's allegations, well, the agency is just categorically false. And they continue to promise to find the truth and continue their investigation. More to come. And finally this morning, we are just a few hours away from the big solar eclipse. It's going to start around 11:30 a.m. local time, starting closest to Eagle Pass, Texas. Then onwards it will go through Cleveland, Ohio, before it drifts into Maine and then out to sea. Now, for many folks, it is going to be a really great escape and a wonderful memory. But as Reuters News Service is highlighting, it may not be quite as fun for grid operators. In Texas, they are preparing to ramp up their natural gas plants as their solar panels are going to lose some percentage of their overall capacity. In the Midwest and in the South, an organization called MISO is also getting their backup systems ready as their solar power will drop. In New England, upwards of 92% of their solar panels will go offline for some period of time, an hour or so. They've got batteries and natural gas plants at the ready to back that stuff up. At least that's what they claim. Now, interestingly, California is also dealing with the eclipse, even though they're pretty far away from the totality. They expect solar power to dip substantially for about an hour and a half during this event. They say that they were going to get their natural gas plants to be up and ready just in case. So no analysis or opinion on that. Just a, well, shall we call it a fun reminder that solar panels do not produce energy. They just harvest energy from when the sun is out. And in this case, that is going to be degraded for about an hour, give or take. And that is why you might want to grab a battery or two and a flashlight, just in case. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. It's a good morning, but we need to talk about tonight. And that is because, as ever, you need a good night's sleep tonight, and you're going to get that with Ghost Bed. Yes, it's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you all know that's true because I own one. I had the Luxe model. But they've got those other great options too, like the Classic, the Massage Bed, yes please, and also one for your RV. But no matter what model you choose from, you gotta get one of these things. The mattresses are built with high quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you are gonna feel both when that thing is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns. So folks, get yourselves a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get 50% off your Ghost Bed purchase. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right, and get ready, because once that bed arrives, you are going to be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text WRIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, WRIGHT, to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's WRIGHT 265532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, WRIGHT, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. Welcome back to The Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It is a series of listener questions today sent to us from my paid subscribers at rightreport.substack.com. Dr. James from somewhere in America, who, by the way, is a founding member, thank you, sir, he shared his suspicions about that Israeli drone strike that took out or killed the aid workers in the Gaza Strip last week. It is his view that it was done on purpose, not on accident. And the goal was to kill those aid workers to scare off humanitarian support, and that Western nations like the U.S. or others in Europe are complicit in their murder. Well, as I shared on Substack, I do know a bit about drone programs, and from my knowledge, I can share that mistakes happen because of the fog of war or bad intel or both. So is that true in this case, in Israel? I don't know, but I suspect that yes, it was a mistake. We note that they have apologized. They've fired the people who pulled the trigger. But I don't know. And unless and until I have evidence to the contrary, I can't say that their deaths were or weren't part of some grand scheme. Instead, my default is to go back to my experience and what I know to be true, which is that accidents happen in the fog of war and with bad intel. And I, again, suspect that that is the case here. But we shall keep an open mind and keep watching. Next, we've got William from somewhere in America. He wrote in asking if I had seen a great piece in Wired magazine about what's called a good guy hacker or a white hat. So this guy tried to get the CIA, the NSA, and the Pentagon to set up a new group of special operations officers, kind of like SEAL teams, with cyber officers who would launch these very aggressive, offensive cyber campaigns. Now, initially, this white hat guy got a great response from the people at the three-letter agencies like the NSA and CIA. They said, yes, we need this capacity that you're talking about. But then his really great plan got buried under lots and lots of bureaucracy and a pretty profound aversion to risk. So now he's going public in Wired magazine, hoping to pressure and shame our government into action to set up these SEAL teams, as it were, to better then target the Chinese or the Russians or North Koreans, amongst others. So, William, thank you for sending this to me. What a great find. I will tell you, as I did on Substack, that this matches what I have shared with others, both on Substack and I believe on this podcast, asking, does the United States do offensive cyber operations? The answer is yes, sometimes. But as this article correctly points out, not as much as our adversaries in places like Beijing or Moscow. And when we do, they're not necessarily as aggressive because of all this risk aversion. And that's because, well, either people at the White House don't want any bad headlines, or people at the CIA or NSA don't want to lose, say, a promotion or get themselves in trouble if an operation goes south. So it just incentivizes everybody to say no to everything. So by the way, if you want to read up on this, the Wired article is entitled, "A Vigilante Hacker Took Down North Korea's Internet. Now He's Taking Off His Mask." Great piece. And by the way, if you want to change this atmosphere of risk aversion, you're going to need a new leader in the White House. Trust me. Finally, I got some great mail over the weekend about the podcast regarding Friday's headline brief. So let me share with you a little bit more information I did on Substack over the weekend, but let me share this with everybody, and it's something that you might not know. So over the past year, I have noticed that the episodes on Monday and Friday are my lowest in terms of downloads or listenership. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are much stronger. So what I think is going on is that on Fridays, people are just really busy getting ready for the weekend. Maybe they don't want to kick things off with the Angel of Death. Fair enough. And on Mondays, I think people are busy getting back into the swing of things with jobs and kids and the like. So knowing that that is true, and in response to what I might call the market demand or the trend, I decided to flex a bit on Fridays to offer a little bit of a lighter episode with less opinion, less analysis, a little bit more streamlined news, and that will make episodes a little bit shorter. Now, I may do this same thing on Mondays as well, given what I know about my download numbers. We'll see. But that is the motivator for this change. And as ever, if you are inclined, I would be thrilled to get your feedback. Substack members, both paid and unpaid, can actually shoot me a note if you want. You just got to sign up for a free account and then let me know. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Good day.